Is this working? Oh, yeah, it is. Good. Thank you, Haldeman family, for sharing in our Advent. Scott, you're really quick at adjusting to things that are different from what you planned. That's great. And Charis, thank you, praise team. And Charis, to have a keyboardist from Florida, wow. Anyway, you can do it next Sunday. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together here. And I just pray that the words of my mouth and our heart's meditations just might be very pleasing and acceptable to you, for you are really our strength and our Redeemer. We pray this in your name. Amen. This past Friday, a week ago, I woke up at the end of a dream. And the dream went like something like this. Joseph, did you know that your fiancé was going to have a baby? I guess you can understand why I'm not a composer. Joseph, did you know that your little boy would feed 5,000 people? This is the tune to Mary, Did You Know? Joseph, did you know, Carpenter Joe, did you know that your baby boy would someday build a kingdom? Well, I keep going on with that. Now, I don't usually share my dreams. Is there anybody here that never had a dream? Okay, good. Well, at least we have this understanding. Probably I would not share 80% of my dreams, even with my wife, much less in church. Because some of my dreams are nasty. They're not good. There are things I wouldn't do, and I wonder where in the world did my mind ever got that idea. And usually when I woke up, they went away. This is what a dream that I had 10 days back that did not go away. It's not a big dream, but let me give you a heads up, because I think this is the cause of some of our dreams. When I went to bed Thursday night, 10 days back, I was reading the Christmas story and wondering how I'm going to share some kind of a message about Christmas. Isn't that amazing? What I'm suggesting is, you know, if you watch a horror movie the night before you go to bed, guess what? You know, if you're into porn and you go to bed, guess what? Are you going to figure this out? This is just some little practical stuff about dreams. We're going to get to some other place than this. But so I had a dream. And so I'm asking some serious questions about the dreams that I get from time to time. Is God really talking to me in the middle of the night when I have a dream? Is this God talking? Is my dream really from God? You know, for many of us, we know the nativity scene by heart. You could probably quote some of the verses in Scripture without looking at your Bible. But did you ever consider the role of dreams played in the Christmas story? Did you ever think about that? And the early life of Jesus. The first Christians were very much the result of dreams. These dreams changed the course of history. We have heard the nativity account many times, and we hear it every Christmas, and thank goodness we do that. But let's look at it this morning in kind of a different light, with different eyes. And we're going to look at it through the eyes of Joseph. Now, this is the Joseph in the New Testament, not the dreamer Joseph in the Old Testament. This is the person that I would say is the legal father of Jesus. And so I'd like for us to look at some verses from Matthew, the first chapter, and my wife's going to read these. Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Matthew 1, 18 to 25.
The birth of Jesus took place like this. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. Before they came to the marriage bed, Joseph discovered she was pregnant. It was by the Holy Spirit, but he didn't know that. Joseph chagrined, but noble, determined to take care of things quietly so Mary would not be disgraced. While he was trying to figure a way out, he had a dream. God's angel spoke in the dream, "Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth, and when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus, God saves, because he will save his people from their sins. This would bring the prophet's embryonic sermon to full term. Watch for this. A virgin will get pregnant and bear a son. They will name him Emmanuel, which is Hebrew for God is with us. Then Joseph woke up and he did exactly what God's angel commanded in the dream. He married Mary, but he did not consummate the marriage until she had the baby. He named the baby Jesus.
Joseph was a righteous man, the scriptures tell us. We really don't know much about Joseph more than that for sure. It seems like the mother of Jesus gets more press, mother of Jesus, Mary, gets more press than Joseph. We know songs that refer to Mary. We don't know really how old Joseph was. We have an idea about Mary when Jesus was born. We don't know how Joseph died or how long he lived. And there's not a, to my knowledge, there's not a word spoken in Scripture that comes from Joseph. No quotes. So I got to thinking about some hard questions. Like, what was Joseph thinking when Jesus was born? Dads, what would you think? Did Joseph and Jesus ever arm wrestle? I'm going to get pretty human about our story today because it helped me to get through some things. And if the arm wrestled, did Jesus ever let his dad win? Something to think about. Did Joseph ever look up from his prayers and saw Jesus listening to him? Isn't that an interesting question? Did his dad ever look up from his praying and see his son? Like, oh my, yeah. But you know, I think Joseph's example and lifestyle were very influential to Jesus. Let me go with this a little bit. Matthew 1:18. Joseph, your girlfriend is pregnant and it isn't yours. I think this is probably not on Joseph's Christmas list, really. So because we live on this side of Christmas, we rush to the end of the story and everything seems to turn all right, out all right with the Christmas story. But let's break this down a little bit. Joseph was known for his uncompromising obedience, his father of Jesus. His obedience to the law of Moses, or to the Torah, we would know it as. Some scholars say that Joseph did not eat unclean food. He didn't mix with the wrong kind of people. And he didn't keep his carpentry shop open on Sunday, on the Sabbath. I mean, that's, Jews would do those things. But Deuteronomy 22:21 reads, if a girl pledged to be married is unfaithful, Deuteronomy says, she shall be brought to the door of her father's house, and there the men of her town shall stone her to death. Wow, what a consequence. She has done a disgraceful thing in Israel by being promiscuous while still in her father's home. You must purge this evil from among you, the Bible reads. So really, Joseph's world has fallen apart. His plans went to pieces. Now, relationship troubles often bring out the worst in us. But watch this with Joseph. This is not the case in this experience. Because this is the kind of man that God chose. In our young dads and moms, in our growing up years, we had some difficulty with our children. We thought so. One of them wasn't Sean. So we had advice from a person that says, you know, God didn't make a mistake. When he put a parent with a child, that was God's plan. You know, if this is helpful, oops. I don't need my glasses. What was the point? Oh, that if you have a troubling child, God has the right parent with that child. I think that was the case here with Joseph for sure. Joseph was not hot-headed. I mean, share some things that I see in this Joseph, this father of Jesus. He did not rush to a quick judgment, and he really tried to do the right thing, because the Bible says Joseph was a righteous man. So it's easy for me, maybe I should say us, easy for me to rush to judgment. I'm really quick at doing that. Judge not, I don't know how that works. So more often we need to, I think more often we need to find the way of mercy, really. When we later see Jesus dealing with the woman caught in adultery, preventing her from being stoned, remember this in Scripture? But sending her away to go and sin no more, could it be too far out to think that we are seeing Jesus echoing what he saw in his dad? Wow, I thought, man, can parents make that much of an impression on your kids? Yeah, they can. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. I think Joseph resolved in his heart to divorce Mary quietly. The scriptures tell us that. But God had completely different ideas. And then Joseph had a dream, which told him, do not be afraid, Joseph, take Mary as your wife. Would you be willing to make a decision that would shape the rest of your life on a dream? Would you be willing to do that? Any day now, Mary would be giving birth to not to a child, but to a Messiah. Not to an infant, but to God. That's what an angel said. And I think that's what Mary believed. And I think that's what Joseph wanted to believe. But it seems so strange. What sense is there in all this, Joseph was thinking. Now, Joseph was a carpenter. We know that. So I'm thinking that Jesus probably grew up playing in wood shavings. I mean, I'm related to a carpenter of sorts, and I've seen this happen. So let me share with you some tendencies I think that woodworkers have. And this isn't a cookie cutter thing, but see if it works. And there's some sitting among us. Carpenters made things fit. Joseph was a carpenter. You see what his tendency would be here? Carpenters square things off on the edges. Carpenters follow a plumb line or a level. Good carpenters measure twice and cut once. I'm not one of those. I can cut. Oh, it takes several cuts. Some of it's because I can't read tape measure, but yeah, anyway, you know. Carpenters like to follow a plan. When I walk into Sean's woodworking shop, on the table are laying plans, all kinds of plans. And they're to the fraction of an inch, like, but that's what they do. It's part of, surprises are not the friend of a carpenter, usually. They like to see plans before they begin. For a carpenter, things that are rough are made smooth. That's with sandpaper or whatever, a plane, yeah. So this dream that Joseph had is a lot to ask of Joseph, a carpenter. You see where he's coming from. But having heard it from the mouth of an angel, Joseph, I think, now believes that Mary had not been unfaithful after all, and that she was really conceived from the Holy Spirit. But who would believe this? Joseph was thinking. An angel? A virgin birth? No way. Would you give yourself to a baby who isn't yours? Thinking, I'm trying to get you in Joseph's shoes. Are you prepared to carry the shame that will come your way if you do that? I think these are really nail-biting questions for Joseph. it's probably not too far out to say that Joseph had to face the demands of the cross before the crucified one was even born. Think about that. And my reference is from Matthew 16:25. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. Perhaps Joseph thought in this experience where he had to make a choice that he had two options. One was to divorce Mary quietly, or another was to have her stoned. But you know, God had a third option. Marry her. Isn't it like God to have more options than we think, really? In Joseph's dream, the angel says, Mary will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus is a Greek version of Joshua, which means savior. Isn't it ironic, like so much in Jesus' life, that the one who would appear to have been born in sin would now have the now save the world from its sin? That's I think that's an interesting, I'm not sure where I read that, but the one who was probably born in sin is now the one who will save the world from their sin. This thing has a problem, Dave. Maybe it'll still work. I wonder how long it actually took for Joseph to get it, to understand what was going on. And I'm kind of being critical here, but let me what I think is kind of the human side of seeing this Christmas story. Joseph and Mary don't seem to quite have worked things out, even when Jesus was 12 years old. Because you remember when Jesus was lost in Jerusalem? Likely they thought about it, but Jesus said, I think Jesus thought it was obvious. Didn't you know that I had to be about my Father's business? Is what Jesus said. And you remember, Mary pondered these things in her heart. She pondered these things in her heart. I wondered if Joseph might have been reading Isaiah sometime or listening to it in the temple when a light bulb went off. And he said, that's it. Isaiah's reading, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Another dream in our Christmas story. The wise men had the second dream in today's lesson. Almost hidden in the Christmas story, the wise men were obviously important and had political clout. They showed up in a new country and went straight to its ruler to get directions. It seems like they must have had some high level of reputation or authority that gave them access to the politicians. And the Bible doesn't tell us whether they're Democrats or Republicans, and that has nothing to do with anything. But, I think politicians are kind of a different bunch. Well, you don't have to talk about that, but they expect things to be done their way. And sometimes their way seems to have plenty of ego in it. But Herod gave the wise men directions, but then asked for something in return. Let's look at this account in Matthew chapter 2, verses, 7 and 8.
Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born, king of the Jews? For we have saw his star when it rose. We have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him.
Thank you, Howard. So the wise men decided to ignore Herod's request that they come back and tell him where the child was. I think that probably was not an easy decision for them to make. So it likely could affect their relationship with the ruler of the land. So for them, I think this is a big deal. But the Bible says they were being warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod. So they returned to their own country by a different route. So maybe the wise men were a little weird. I mean, they saw a star in the sky, wise men, and a dream helped them make a decision. A dream, following a dream. Let's look at another dream from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 15.
When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for your child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through his prophet, out of Egypt called my son.
Thank you, Mary. So when Herod realized that the scholars had tricked him, he flew into a rage, and we know this story. He commanded the murder of every young child, every boy, 2 years and younger, living in the Bethlehem area or in its surrounding vicinity. So if they would not have left, if they would not have adhered to the dream, Jesus would have died with the other 4 years or 2 years and younger boys. So if I were God, I would not probably have brought such an important message through a dream. But I'm not God, so and that's a good thing. But God chose to speak to his people in dreams. God trusted the life of his son on a dream. I think God is more willing to speak through prophetic dreams if we're willing to pay attention to them. Should we still expect God to speak to us in dreams? At the birth of a church in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on those in the upper room, there were things like the sound of a rushing wind, tongues of fire set on people's head. People spoke in tongues. And then Peter stood up and tried to explain what was going on. He said, "These people aren't drunk, because it's 9 o'clock in the morning," Scripture tells us. And then he quotes from Joel, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, and also your daughters, and your young men will see visions, and your old men dream dreams. When the time comes, I'll pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women both." So Peter says in the last days, 2,000 years ago were the last days. Well, this must be the last of the last days in the years that we live in. We struggle to believe in a world that cannot be seen with our eyes, touched with our hands, and smelled when we breathe. I think some of us have an attitude like Thomas. Unless I can see it, unless I can touch it, I don't believe it. Let me take you down a little bunny trail here. I don't know if this will be helpful or not, but there is a spirit world. I think we know this. This is not new. There is an invisible veil covering both the natural eyes and the spiritual understanding of men and women. Paul talks to us about this. Paul wrote this, that there is a veil similar to scales over the eyes of our understanding that clouds the light of God's revelation from entering our minds and giving us life-changing insight. If we leave behind the veil, we will never know or experience God's best for us. The veil may look like this. It could be lack of interest in spiritual matters, or it could be dullness in our understanding, or it could be a spirit of unbelief. This veil must be lifted to be This veil must be lifted to experience the unseen. I love the story in 2 Kings 6, 8 to 17. We're not going to read that, but an army was sent to capture Elisha, and Elisha's servant saw the army, and he had great fear. It just gripped him. Elisha prayed for the servant's eyes to be opened, and fear turned to faith as the servant saw horses and chariots surrounding their area that were forming protection. What was that about? Our eyes must be opened. You know, this may happen at night when our brain receives information from the heavenly realm, which opens our eyes, allowing eternal information to pass from the heavenly realm to an earthly realm. I think most of you have experienced being in a car and everybody was sleeping, but maybe the driver and the passenger, and there was conversation going on between the passenger and the driver, and the rest of the people, when asked when they woke up, do you know what was being said? They have no idea. Is that a veil over their ears or their eyes? I'm thinking about what goes on when we sleep. My human eyes can't see angels flying in the heavenly realm. If you can do that, I want to talk to you after church. We're all kind of on the same page with that. But you know, God is a spirit, and there's a part of you and I that is spirit. So I can at times feel or sense, and you can too, the presence of the Lord, or the peace of an angel, or the forces of evil. I think we all had that experience, because God is a spirit and we are a spirit. Or I can feel or I have a sense of the church that I'm to attend. What is that? Maybe it's a mission trip that I'm to be a part of. I sense that I'm to be a part of that. What's doing that? Or maybe it's a drive or an urge to give to a special offering. There's something almost supernatural in all of that. So God's willingness to communicate with us comes in various ways. As I thought about this, this is kind of amazing. The Bible, I didn't count them, but I read someplace that the Bible has 115 dreams in it, both Old and New Testament. We know from Old Testament that there was handwriting on the wall for some people. That's kind of easy to get, I suppose. How about the burning bush? I don't think you saw a burning bush this week, Chuck, but God spoke in a burning bush. He has different ways of communicating with us. How about the walking donkey? Well, when my pigs start talking to me, I'm out of here. But, you know, God has different ways to do this. How about being swallowed by a fish? Jonah. Or even verbally. But, you know, for us, I think the best way that God's communicating with us is through Jesus, his son, really. It beats all dreams. That's the real deal. Jesus, his son. So Joseph had a dream. I think it helped Joseph to change his direction, no question. So I think God is talking to us as believers through his son, Jesus. And he's saying to us, yes, your sins are forgiven. Yes, your name is written in heaven. Yes, your faith, that death has been defeated. Yes, God has entered your world because Emmanuel, God is with us. We're going to close out today with a praise team's sharing with us a Christmas carol, O Come, All Ye Faithful. So as they get into their spot, we're ready to do that.